Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Okay. So, we're starting a new series titled Survive. Very direct. And I want to, one of the things I hope to be able to help us understand tonight is to be able to help us realign our doctrinal foundation, particularly about tough times. Is that okay? I want to help us bring different perspective to it. Because it seems that the, shall I use the word introductory class that many believers had when they were coming to Christ? You were told that when you come to Jesus, you will not experience any problem. And sometimes we just say those things out of zeal. Okay? If you are going through any persecution, you are going through any tough time, you are going through any problem, come to Jesus now, that will be the end of your problem. Come to Jesus now, that will be the end of barrenness. Come to Jesus now, that will be the end of this and that will be the end of that. And the implication of that thought process is that we have raised people who see, who equate tough times to mean the absence of God. And it's not so. So I want to show you from the Bible. Okay? I want to show you from the Bible what the Bible says about tribulations, what the Bible says about tough times, about moments that is not funny. Okay? In fact, the most basic of scriptures that I can show you today, let me show you the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Turn your Bibles there if you have with your Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stone and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. All right, listing different seasons. Now, that doesn't mean that, because if you don't understand this balance, the mistake you are most likely going to make is that you will create an open door in your life for the enemy to steal from you, and you will say it is God who is doing it. For instance, let me show you someone in the Bible who had an extreme of this theology, of this doctrine. The woman Hannah. Hannah was trusting God for the fruit of the womb, all right? But when she opened her mouth to speak, we saw that she was getting something wrong. She said, God had kept me from having a child. Okay? Some of you will know people that if something happened, something that you could actually have stood your ground and rebuked the devil, they say God has brought this. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, so I want us to understand the balance that being in Christ does not exempt us from the principles that governs our world. Listen to this. Being in Christ does not also exempt us from, I want to use the right words, from the, Jesus said in this world you will face tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Okay, so it does not necessarily exempt us from the things that touches others. However, we have an advantage. Are you following what I'm saying? Our advantage is, in the midst of that situation, there is a victory that has been achieved ahead. And the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith. Is that okay now? So our advantage is that we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. You see, I've seen people who try to fault certain theological balances, and I just laugh. A believer must understand that the victory that he has been gotten for him ahead of the tribulation. So it means that no matter the problem that you are facing now, it came after the victory has been won. So it came too late. You see, when people who are in the world go through tough times, they are not going through it as one that has a victory achieved ahead. This victory is the exclusive right of those who are in Christ. Lift your right hand. Say, I'm a child of God. Say it again, I'm a child of God. Say it again, I'm a child of God. I walk in victory all the days of my life. No matter the tribulations, no matter the trouble, I walk in victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you being blessed? We are trying to lay certain foundation now. Look at what the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. I'm just going to quote for the sake of time. It says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because what? I have overcome the world. So we must understand that there is a principle, or there is a law called the law of inclusion. That when Christ died, we died with him. Romans 6. Is that okay now? From verse 3. Please give us that scripture. Romans 6 from verse 3. We must understand that. Romans 6 from verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus and were baptized into his death? Yes. Therefore, we were buried with him by the baptism into his death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should walk in newness of life. We're included. As he was being buried, we're being buried. As he was being raised, we're being raised. Do you understand that now? All right. So we have a part in that victory. He won that victory for the church. And that's why when you read the scripture that talks about the Great Commission, Matthew 28 verse 19, start from by saying something very important. It said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth and all that. Then he now went forth to say, go ye therefore. It's called the power of attorney. It is delegated authority. When you speak as a lawyer on behalf of the owner of a property, the power conferred on you gives you the right to speak as the owner. That's the power we have. Say, I have that authority. Say it again, I have that authority. Do you understand that? Is it simple enough? I want to make it as simple as possible. Is there any lawyer here? Wait, any lawyer? We have, this church is blessed with lawyers. All right, several lawyers. Let me just have one of you. Please come. Please come. Don't mind. Let's give her a big hand. I want to re-explain what I'm saying now, all right? Thank you. Let's keep clapping for her as she comes. Thank you. I know it's not easy sometimes to stand here. Now, she's a lawyer. If I have a property, and I say, you are in charge of this property, when you speak, all right, you have an authority to speak on behalf of the owner, right? Now, do you mind sword when you speak on behalf of the owner? You speak with the authority as long as the power of attorney has been signed. You want to say signed, sealed, delivered. That's it. That's what we have. Now, please, thank you. Let's give her a big hand. Thank you. Let me give you an example. Recently, I was talking to two of my precious ones. And they were sharing some of their experiences with me, how that they moved into an apartment, and they began to see strange spirit. The wife saw first, will see a demon with blood around the face, and then the husband too will sleep and see demon, the same spirit. And sometimes the thing will be drawing them like he's sinking them into the bed. And, you know, they were sharing with me on phone and said, Apostle, please pray. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. You have that victory in Christ. You have an authority in Christ. Go and use it. Enter your room and command the spirit to get up. But while we were talking, I just got angry. So we're having video call. I said, flip the camera to the back. So they did. So I said, you very stupid looking ugly devil, get out of this house. These are my own. Never come back. Now, bye-bye. And that was it. Peace like a river. We have the power to expel demons. You don't need drama. When you tell a demon, get out, don't wait for them to dance. Get out. And that's it. Don't come back. Nobody crosses the bloodline. There's a blood here. Never return. That's the power. Say, I have the power. Say it again, I have that power. Any believer who is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, has that power. Oh yes, I can tell you stories. Cases where I don't even have to cast out a devil, just have to show up in an environment and the demons begin to scream. We have that power. When we move, it is the kingdom of God moving on two legs. We have a defense structure that is beyond the artillery of any president in the world. We have the backing of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And it's not for pastors, it's for all Christians. It is for all Christians. It is for all Christians. I'm telling you. It's for all Christians. It's for all Christians. When you see thieves show up and they will melt at the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going somewhere and I need you to please follow me. So Jesus said in John 16 verse 33 that in this world you will, you know, have tribulations. In James chapter number 1 from verse 2 to 4, James 1 from verse 2 to 4 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. So there is a possibility for a believer to have challenges. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that there is a problem doesn't mean God is sleeping. Okay, do they have that scripture? Say, count all joy when you fall into diverse what? Trials, temptations. Yes, verse 3 now. Quickly. All right, quickly. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. The other time I was teaching, I gave you the illustration of the rod and the staff. Okay? So, there is something called the trying of our faith. It works patience in us. It works patience in us. So, there are trials. There are trials. And I'm going to give you examples of people who went through trials in the Bible. We need to lay that foundation. Okay? In the book of James, chapter number 5, from verse 13 to 15. James, chapter number 5, from verse 13 to 15, says, is anyone afflicted? Or is anyone sick? All right? Let them pray. Let those who are sick go to the elders. They will anoint the person. Prayers of faith will be made over the person. So, what that means is that, now, listen to this. Listen to this. It is possible, I'm not saying it is the life of a believer, it is possible for a believer to fall sick. Somebody say it is possible. For instance, there are principles, and this is one of the subjects I need to teach, and that's the subject of divine health. There are principles that governs divine health. See, it is not just faith. You can believe God for divine health and live your life violating the principles that make room for longevity. For instance, if you want to live a very healthy life, it is very important you take water regularly. There are things you become predisposed to if you don't take water. True or not true? Listen to what I'm saying. Charge yourself. By that I mean charge in the spirit. Do it for 16 hours every day. Neglect your health. You will still be sick. Because you cannot violate those principles and have rest. Another very important principle to have in place to have divine health is to exercise yourself regularly. I advise people who have to sit down in offices from Monday to Friday, use Saturday and Sunday evenings to work out. Try. Say, Apostle, are you saying because you go to gym? No. I tell you, sometimes in the gym is like dying. I forgot that my coach is even here, sir. Supposed to get up, want to do this. I say, okay, I'm not standing up. Say, you have to go 2 months. Don't be me. I am honestly not trying to build muscles. I just want to be fit. So leave this one for bouncers. But it is a very correct principle. Are you following what I'm saying here? Basic things. Eat well. And by that I mean balanced diet. When you do this, all right, you're also helping your faith. True or not true? There is nothing balanced in Gary. The kind of wickedness we do to ourselves. People will have money and save for a rainy day while they are suffering before the rainy day. And you know what usually happens? So before the rainy day, somebody will be going through their own rainy day and they'll collect the whole stuff. I think I saw something online that if the money you have cannot solve the problem you have, eat the money. I'm not giving you biblical advice. Okay? The person said, stop seeing bag of cement in every rice you eat. When you say, I'm eating this rice, this is one bag of cement. Okay? But I'm just showing you principles. Listen to this. Because today I'm going to talk extensively about principles. When the Bible said, when God finished the heavens and the earth, he rested. I've told you, that rest is not from tiredness. You will have rest when you employ principles. If you despise principles, why should you rest? For instance, train up your child in the way he should go. When he grows, not the path. It's a principle. True? True? If you despise that principle in your old age, you'll be running from police station to police station. Because you wasted a principle. Very, very important. Are you following what I'm teaching you here? Is this simple enough? Is this simple enough? If you look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 2, from verse 1, the Bible says, why does the hidden rage, and the kings of the earth, all right, set themselves against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, come, let us break their bands and cast their cords asunder, and so on. All right, but the Bible says what? He that sit in the heavens shall what? Shall have. In the book of Psalms 18, I think towards verse 4 or 5, David said, in my distress I cried upon the Lord. All right, and my cry came into his ears, even into his sanctuary, and he bowed the heavens and did. He said, when the snares of death compassed me. Listen to what I'm saying. Please listen. There are times that it doesn't matter how righteous and how holy you are walking. You just observe that there is a snare around. It looks like the devil is trying to close in on you. He's trying to do. You must know, as a believer, we have been raised for warfare. Never you think that whenever you have to engage in this fight of faith, it is because God is dead. We must understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In the book of 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are mighty through God, for the pulling down of what? Stronghold, casting down imagination, every high thing that lifts itself against knowledge of God. Let me tell you what imagination is. I'll tell you what stronghold is in the simplest way. So you want to cast down stronghold. Let me tell you, please, let me have two of you. Please stand here. You stand there. This is somebody from, no, don't worry, face him. This is somebody from, let's say this is Ghana, let's say this is Nigeria. The both of them are fighting. Are you following what I'm saying? And the entry point for them to fight is that they face each other. This is a stronghold. The moment this country can successfully plant a strategic loophole inside them, inside this country, this guy is still fighting this country, but this country will defeat him from inside out. What they are built inside is their stronghold. It is called stronghold because you will not easily detect it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What are strongholds? Belief systems. You are fighting the devil, but he has already planted a belief system. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people who somehow are convinced that they are meant to die young. It doesn't matter how much they say amen to length of days, they'll be defeated from inside out. So when Job said, what I feared greatly has finally come, what was speaking? A stronghold. The devil took his time to build it. So it means that listen to what I'm saying. When we begin to engage in this warfare, our first duty is to check what is the thought process that I now believe that will give the devil an advantage over my life. It is a stronghold. Is that simple enough? Thank you. Please be seated. Now, let me tell you what imagination is. Do you know what the Bible said? Jeremiah 29 verse 11, if I'm correct. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It said, I know the thought that I what? Think towards you. They are thought of what? Peace. Not of what? Evil. To give you a hope and an expected end. Or to give you a hope and a future. NIV now. Do you know what imagination is? Let me ask you a question. Simple way. How many of you have ever, maybe you are in a car, and you just thought to yourself, let's just assume this car just come and saw three times now. Or you're on a bike. That thought just come. Imagine this bike just jump inside the bridge. Has it happened to you before? Let me see your hand waved off. You now say, I rebuke my thought. I rebuke my thought. No, you are not that wicked. It is not your thought. You only perceive and picked what the devil is planning for you at that moment. So what happens? When that thing comes, never respond to that thought with your thought. You cast down imagination with words. Any thought you respond to with thought, you have not conquered it. The devil begins to give you the impression, do you know you will die young? Do you know you can suddenly drop dead? Do you know you are going back to penury? Never you respond in your mind. You begin to bring back the word of God that addresses that situation. There are two reasons why you must speak loud. Number one, you need to hear. Number two, the devil needs to hear. You need to hear because you too need to have it. Listen, not just as a confession, but as a belief system. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not sure you are getting me. No, you don't understand. Let me help you. Please come. This is the destination of faith. Imagine me convincing this guy now that you are a woman. I say you are a woman. I say you are a woman. Look at your dimples. You are a woman. You say, what it takes to be a woman is more than dimples. I say, look at you. You are a woman. Look at your skin tone. Say, can you so hold the word of God to this point that the same way you know your gender, nobody can convince you against that? When you come to this point, it's called Lambano. Let me show you scripture. 1 John chapter number 1 from verse 1. 1 John chapter number 1 from verse 1. Now look at it. This is the destination of the word of God. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard. Which we have what? Seen. With our what? Eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have. That is, somebody come and say, let's assume you marry wrong. You said, even in the realm of assumption, I can't. Somebody said, let's assume that this building just crashed. See, what is holding this one is beyond any hypothetical realm. Even in that realm of assumption, it is not possible. The moment you can hold the word of God convincingly, the way you hold the proof of your gender, you can't convince me that I'm a woman. I'm a man. In the same light, can I hold scriptures on healing in a way that if doctor's report is trying to say something different, you now say, whose report will we believe? You cannot convince me against the report that I have. Let me tell you something. One of the sessions I'm going to teach you in this subject, Survive, is that I'm going to teach you how not to die young. Let me tell you something. At the end of my life, in my old age, one of my last preaching will be to tell the people who have been following me that I told you. If you don't know that we can hold God's word for it, then you are not following God. That we can hold God's word and stake our life. The reason you have problems is because you don't know whether today will be good or to be bad. How do you live your future in the realm of assumptions? Only God knows what tomorrow. He said these things he has freely revealed to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lift your right hand, everybody. Say it. Do I have people here who understand warfare? Say it loud and clear. I can't die young.
I can't die young.
Say it, even in the realm of assumption.
Even in the realm of assumption,
I can't die young.
I can't die young.
Let's go a step further. Say, even if they are selling cancer like pure water,
I cannot have in it.
I am saying this world is too wicked for you to live your life to assumptions. You must hold it. We speak the word of faith because we need to hear. Then the devil needs to hear too. Are you following what I'm saying? This one is we talking to ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are times that you are not speaking to the devil. You too, you need convincing. That even in your sleep. We don't just teach these things. Listen to what I'm saying. It is dangerous to be loud when you have not embodied it. Because they will check you. And it will be dangerous for you to be found as a man who is loud but have not sat with these things to hit it. Do you understand? We must sit with these things to eat it till we become one. I'm entering warfare. Because when I teach you survive, I'm not teaching you just to be able to come out and the devil did not kill me. No. You come out on top. I'm not ready to bury any of you yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it again. The life of Christ is at work in me. Say it again loud and clear. That's why I said this service is like 4-in-1 because I'm still introducing. Is somebody being blessed?
Yes,
sir. So I'm talking about principles now. I've shown you the word. I've shown you lifestyle. Is that okay? So there are times that a believer has to go through a waiting process. There are times it happens. Abraham waited for 25 years after God encountered him. Joseph was sold to slavery. Maybe what he did wrong was that he spoke before wrong people. The disciples of Jesus were being haunted. Like they were haunting a rat. Alright? So you must understand that there is such a thing as called the trials of your faith. So what do you do? When situations are happening, you ask. Like that man who sowed good seed in his field and woke up to see tears. Who has done this? Never you just accommodate anything as God trying to teach you a lesson. Is that okay now? Never you do so. You check. You check. As believers, we will have to learn how to persevere. There are times you will have to walk away from certain things that looks like opportunities, but they are not godly. And the fact that you walk away from them does not mean immediately God will answer your prayer and you have something new. No. Sometimes, on the strength of you walking away from them, you will have to wait a process completely. And that becomes the testimony of your faith and your consecration to God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That you have to walk away from something that brings your Christian walk into shame and ridicule. Somebody is saying that if I don't sleep with you, you will not get this job. And you have to walk away from, say, to hell with you and your job. Are you aware that doesn't mean immediately God gives you another job? I know. Sometimes God gives you instruction and say you are going to do this, you are going to do that, and you did it, and you are expecting that everything will align immediately, and it looks like God is asleep. He's not asleep. He always comes through for his own. So we must understand that the waiting process does not mean God is absent. Is that okay now? I said, is that okay? So what I'm going to teach you tonight is, how do we raise believers who can survive tough times? Who can survive tribulations? Who can survive losses? Who can survive pain? Again, I want to reiterate that scripture. Are you aware that the trying of your faith works patience in you? There are certain things that until you are salted with time, you will not come out well. If everything you ever desire, you get, you can't be a strong Christian. There are things that you will have to learn to say no to and walk away from. They are painful. You need them. Your flesh desires them, but it is not God's plan. And you will have to persevere. And you will have to obey God. The Bible says that when we faint in the days of adversity, what is happening? Our strength is little. There is such a thing as called the days of adversity. And we must build spiritual stamina and muscles. There are two kinds of Christians. There are those who say, I know God is able to deliver me from this. That's one kind. But we saw the story of these Hebrew guys. That they said to Nebuchadnezzar and said, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. That's a strong word. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God that we serve is able to deliver us from you and your fiery furnace. But if he does not, we still will not bow. That defiance in the face of annihilation, that sense of boldness and commitment to God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That the God I serve will rescue me. But if that God does not show up now, that doesn't mean he's dead. Listen to what I'm saying. There are situations that make God look like Baal. If by the way we rate Baal was that Baal did not answer, there are also biblical situations we can look at that people call on God and didn't look like God showed up. And that's why we need to teach on this subject again, that God is not missing when it ought. You say, where was God when my brother was dying, when this was dying, when this was happening? The same place he was when his only begotten son hanged. The same place. The same place he was when they fastened nails to his hands, when they pierced him with the crown of thorns, when they fastened nails to his legs, when they pierced him on the side. The same place where he was is the same place he is. We must know God beyond comfort. We must know God beyond when all our prayers are answered. We must know God beyond when things are fine. We must know God beyond when things are smooth. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must know him as God even when things are contrary. We must know him as God even when things look like the opposite of all the prophecy we ever had. Like you can receive prophecies and you know this is God and the opposite is happening. We must know God beyond speed, that there can be delay and yet God is still God. Listen to what I'm saying. When you exempt process from our Christian walk, you have exempted too much. When the Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter number 11, that they that do know their God shall be strong. Please listen. Please listen. The word know there is the same word know that Paul was using. That he said that I may know you. This know there is know that means it is not mental knowledge. This knowing him is experience. This is the knowledge that comes from walking with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I showed you that now. That David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mean that in the place of walking with you, I will experience the rod dimension in quick answers. I will also experience the staff. The one I will pray, it doesn't come to pass. And I will mature to come to a place where I can now wield it. He said the boat brings comfort. As you walk with God, and I tell people, listen, the step of faith is like one who is climbing a ladder. The next step will not appear until you put your legs there. There are times your life is like this, that you are wondering, God said, go forward. Where do I go from here? As you move, he will make a way out of the wilderness. When the Israelites were moving, he said, let the priest carrying the ark move ahead. Jordan never parted until they stepped their feet there. Listen. This is the reason why you will not do anything significant if you don't make moves, even when things don't look like it. You must move. When God said, leave Ibadan and come to Abuja, at the point that we have just finished the facility, I never thought about it once till I entered the plane. The day I was going to move, my wife was saying, is that it? I said, that's it. I never sat down to think about it and say, oh, Abuja, oh, this. It was never a thought. When I entered the plane and I sat down, I said, okay, now we are moving. On to the next now. That is the life of a missionary. Tell your neighbor, make a move. Tell your neighbor again, make that move. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? There are bulk of the knowledge you will have about God that is communicable from one generation to another is experiential. That I know him. In this walk with him, I have come to know him as this. Let me tell you something. When this ministry started as a Bible study group years back on OAU campus, it was in a season in my life where I will go there, pastor people will teach them, and sometimes I'm leaving the meeting and I do not have one naira for transport. And God said, this is my instruction for you in this season. Never ask anybody for money. Never give anybody the impression that there is lack. And many times I will finish ministering and enter the bus, going back to my house. And I know quite well that if I get to where I'm going and give this guy a story, there's a problem. And I will sit down as one that has money and I'll be saying, God, what is your plan? If this guy should move for me, what is your plan? Sometimes just few seconds to when the bus will move, somebody will just rush down and say, Pastor, I'm sorry. God has been placing this in my heart. I think it's too small. Shut up there. Bring it. It is too small. What do you mean? When next God speaks to you, obey promptly. Is that okay? Say, good. God bless you. Be blessed. Go in peace. That doesn't mean we're failing. We were learning God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You have a big project in front of you. God said, take the next step. You are like, they've not approved this. Until you learn to move, you will not see him. The Red Sea never parted when they were in Egypt. It parted right in front of them. For you to see the sea part, stand there and make those moves. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. This is how we know God. In the midst of hunger, in the midst of pain, in the midst of depravity, and we are seeing how it comes true. It gives you a body of knowledge nobody can take from you. Anybody can try to convince you as against what you read, but nobody can convince you against what you experienced. Yes. I know how God comes true for his people. He has done that again and again. Are you learning something? Now, listen. One of the very important things that I feel we need to do justice in teaching people how to survive is the season of failure. We can do motivational speaking from today till tomorrow and say nobody has failed until you say I quit. Failure is real. Forget about all those nonsense. So those things will inspire people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what it means to fail now. If somebody is married and the marriage crashed, they dissolved everything, it has failed. True or not true? You can't say you have not really, this one has failed. True or not true? It has failed. Somebody is running a business, everything crashed, they even sacked you from your own business and somebody took it over, the business has failed. Out of that carcass, God can still bring life. But let's agree first, it died. True or not true? Failure is real. The issue is that sometimes we try to live in denial. Somebody is a student on a campus, your GP keeps getting below 1 point, first semester, second semester, the school gave you advice to withdraw. Advice that you must take. I don't know why they call it advice to withdraw. You can't say, you can't say I won't take this advice. And they say it's advice. They are withdraw. You understand what I'm saying? The student has failed. But that doesn't mean you have failed in life. But there is a season where failure is actually, this is the reality now. This person has failed. This project has failed. I remember when we I've shared the story. Did our first construction in Ibadan. We're going to move in the same week. We're going to move. Everything crashed down. The project failed. There are times as believers that we did not pray for it. We don't want it, but we have failed at something. A relationship ended with breakup, and either the guy or the girl was swearing that if you are the last human being in this world, I would rather go and marry a goat. You said it failed. Breakup is real. True or not true? It's real. Worst case scenario, the person now went to date your friend. I'm saying that there are seasons like this. Sometimes you are trusting God for a person's life in the hospital. Oh Lord, please restore health, and the person dies. Something failed. That's the first thing I want to teach us, how to survive the seasons of failure. On Sunday, I will teach you how to survive the seasons of affliction and hard times. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's real. We are not saying that is our reality, but we are saying it is a reality. But I want to agree that many of us have gone through phases that you failed. True or not true? Aha. The man who invented the bulb, Thomas Edison, said he tried how many times again? 999 times. I don't know why it was that figure, but he said he didn't fail at those figures. He only saw ways it could not be done. He failed. He failed. He just didn't give up. He failed. One time in school, I failed. Out of 36 or thereabout, I came 33rd. I canceled 1-3. And I left the third. I took the results home to my dad. All the red things were there. He looked at it. You know, old man now. He turned the back of the thing, saw the real thing. He said, you did well. I said, yes, sir. He said, go inside, go and eat. I said, I was eating the food. It was like gravel. He came back. The way he was looking at me, you know that look, you are wondering, is he aware? Is he not aware? What's happening? The following day, I was sitting down in class and I heard the sound of his car. I know that car. I looked. It was my dad. He opened the boot and brought out the cane. So since you discovered it, you should have not allowed me it. Just what I failed. Are you following what I'm saying here? When a student is in school and you have carryover in it, you failed the subject. You can't say that actually failure is... No. Motivate yourself to retake it, but you have failed it now. It's true. And sometimes situations become compounded because we live in denial. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? But I want to give us a balance before I talk about this. There is something that looks exactly like failure, but it is not failure. I want us to understand that. So by the time I begin to teach about this, you will be able to separate this from what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Process and failure look alike. In the sense that for both of them, there's no result. But process is not failure because the season has not come yet. There's an appointed time for everything. Is that okay now? When something is not in its season, don't overexpect it to deliver. If you plant the seed of a corn in the season that is not the rainy season, you will believe that it's a bad seed. Meanwhile, you have only taken this thing out of its season. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody just finished university, and the fellow is frustrated already, sad, and say, look at my mate in billions. For God's sake, you are in season now. You are in process, sorry. You are not there yet. Listen to what I'm saying. There are things I say now, and I see it trending everywhere. People are saying this is so deep. I have said this same thing 10 years ago, and it did not pass the roof of where I said it. Why? Because the season has not come. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. I am saying when your season comes, the same thing will bring different results. When Jesus speak in Luke chapter number 4 to read the Bible, the Torah according to his custom. The Bible said what? According to. Meaning that this was not the first time he was reading it. But now he was reading after God has said, this is my beloved son. He was reading after the Holy Ghost has descended like a dove. The moment he read this one, the eyes of all them that had fasting on him. You will command attention in your season. Not outside your season. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it balanced enough?
Yes, sir.
Is it basic? Yes. You must understand that. When you are in season, when you are not in a season, you are not failing. You are just not in a season. You know, the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in its time and its season. So there are times that the time for something has not come. And if you try to force it, it will look like you are failing. But the time has not come. Listen to this. When the time comes, you will have to repeat the same thing you did before that didn't work. Now it will work because the time has come. The issue is that when people try something at the season that the time has not come and it didn't work, when the time comes, they now feel that method is not the right method. And they try something new. And now they are in the right time but using the wrong method and it still won't work. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am saying, if the season for a teen has not opened up, you will not get result on it, and you are still not failing. You are in a waiting process. So what happened during waiting process? Character is being formed. When you wait your season, you will emerge strong, not haphazard. You will emerge rounded. Listen to what I'm saying. The same thing you have been crying to God about to bless you with and give you, he will give you. But there is a kind of person that must receive it. And God's priority is that person, not that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you ask God to choose between you and the resources you are asking for, he said, no, I prefer you. Now, listen. Are you learning something? In God's equation, to him, it will not give you anything that will destroy you, even if that thing is a dear need. So, what will he do? It will take you through a process where you can wield this thing and still survive. You will see that process as God failing, as God denying. He's not. I'm saying you don't know your tendencies until you receive what you want. There are many sins people are capable of committing, but they can't afford it yet. If the money to be able to afford it comes, they will begin to live those lives. And that's why our coming to church must go beyond what we need. Do you understand what I'm saying? Coming to church must go beyond what you want to get from God. Revival is not when we have beggarly Christians around God asking, give me, give me. Revival is when we come because we're in love. This is the reason why many Nigerians travel abroad and begin to misbehave. Because the reason why many are persuaded to follow God is the hardship of our economy. Sometimes I get scared when people say New Nigeria. This thing we call revival, can it survive a nation where everything you are praying for is available through the government? It may be that somebody is not supposed to be here tonight, but the fellow wanted to watch Netflix, then NEPA took light. Nigeria happened. So now you have to be in church. Are you seeing that now? Say, this NEPA that took this light is a sign from God that you... Now you are in America in a place where there's no NEPA, because NEPA is synonymous to light power outage. All right? And now, here you are. Say, God, I love you more than money. No. Please say it again. Listen to this. When we come to church, we come to church because we love God and we are fellowshipping with him. Not because there is a need. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We must love him beyond those things. That even if these things are not here, yet will I not deny you. I've come to find a companion in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this simple enough? Say it again, God, I love you more than money. I love you more than anything else in this life. If we get this thing right, you will stand strong in the midst of abundance. You will stand strong in the midst of depravity. You will stand strong through any situation. Nobody will know when you have and when you don't have. Nobody will know when you are down or you are up, because you have come to stand on the rock that is Christ. I am not serving Jesus because I'm trusting him for a wife, as much as that is important, but that's not the reason why I'm here. No. I'm not serving Jesus because I'm trusting him for a car, as much as it is not luxury, is important. That is still not the reason why I'm here. That if he shows up and pick between my presence and this presence, I pick your presence. So why then do people fail? Why do people fail? Have you ever sat down and wonder that if truly Nigeria is, let's say, the epicenter of the move of God on the earth right now, why are we in this much mess? No, it's a very serious question. It looks like every 4 years we go through a cycle. True or not true? And you can receive 1,000 prophecies, not the same thing. And you're wondering, where is God? I know there's been several events in this nation that people sat down and cry, that the pain is too much. In fact, one of the things you must build capacity for is capacity to survive Nigeria. Nigeria can damage your mental health if you think too much about this nation. I'm telling you, I've been there. There is a way you will think about Nigeria and you'll enter depression. Now you are thinking about death. Because you may come to that point where you are asking, what is the way out? Is there hope? You look at this sector, compromise. What about this one? Compromise. What about that? You say, what is the fate of the people? I will show you the way out. No, I will show you the way out. Scriptures for this nation, I will show you tonight. So why do people fail? See, listen. When you fail in an aspect of your life, don't just sit down and say, this is the trial of my faith. It is beyond that. There are many reasons why people fail. Number one, violation of principles. One, people fail because of violation of principles. This could be as a result of negligence. You can violate a principle because you are negligent. This could also be as a result of ignorance. It is the principle you know that you can apply. Are you with me? Now, violation of principle could also be as a result of misinformation. That is, your hunger met wrong knowledge. You really wanted to know how these things will work until you met somebody who said something wrong. Can I tell you this? If you want to succeed in any area of your life, you must seek to understand the principles that govern those areas. A student wants to succeed academically, you must sit down to intelligently study the principles that guarantees academic success. I intend to say something about academics. And it's a very strong word. I'm not going to mind sword. Listen to what I'm saying. If you have been sent to school, your priority in school is your academics, not fellowship. I speak as one who pastored campus fellowship. What did I say your priority is? Academics. The money that was gotten from sweat was gotten not for you to be speaking in tongues when class is on. Because by the time you are done with that tongues, you will come back and fail. Are you following what I'm saying? Say, somebody should sit down in class. You are studying a medical course or something very tedious. Be seated in class when there is class. Go for fellowship when there is fellowship. Say, no. There's this fellowship meeting. Listen to what I'm saying. You will do all the fellowship meetings. When you fail, the fellowship will use those who paid attention to the academics as the display of success when they're advertising for newcomers. The same you who gave everything and failed, they will not identify you as a good product. So when the fellowship is saying so and so score, this one first class, they will put the people they put there may miss class, oh, may miss fellowship meeting. Oh. And this one is saying, where is God when it ought? The same way he was when you were being foolish. The same place he was. See, you give to everything the principles that is accorded to it. You cannot give part-time attention to your academics and come out as a first-class graduate. It doesn't work that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it simple enough? Is it simple enough? Understand the principle. Oh, see. Can I touch a few things? Exam is starting. Anoint my pen. Pen is neutral. It responds to what is in the head of the person wielding it. It is neutral. It is a neutral commodity. That you pray, dip it in oil. It does not enhance what you have here. People who are not dipping pen, raise it up. Wave it 200 times. Oh God, fire on my pen. Those who didn't do all that are passing. I'm saying some prayers are unnecessary if you do what is right. Is that okay now? Apologies to all the anointing service for exam passing. Apologies. I'm sorry. But I must tell you the truth. We must also go back and check that. See, listen. I don't like deceit. I don't like deceit. I like to be honest. How did we do anointing service? We prayed 3 hours. We anointed these people. So we cannot come out and say publicly. But you are seeing that 9 out of 28 people failed the course. You are saying anointing service again. No. Use that time to tell them to read their books. That is the principle for succeeding in academics. Holy Spirit, you remind me of all things because the Holy Ghost reminds you of things that pertains to scriptures. Is it possible for the Holy Spirit to remind you of things in academics? In slight instances, yes. But reminder means you knew it, but you forgot. Not that you didn't know it and say, Holy Ghost, no. It doesn't work that way. The Holy Ghost is not a scam. Is it simple enough? I know some of you still have your anointed Bible put somewhere now. You have failed 2 exams with it. Is that not strange? This Bible. You said the last time I went to Canaan, Bishop Oedipo touched this Bible, and I know the Bible is on. And after that, you wrote 3 exams, you have failed 2 with that same Bible. I'm not saying you threw away the Bible, but please read. That Bible is a liability, not an asset. Read. Is that okay now? Very important. Have I touched that enough? Let's talk about the principles that governs the area of finance. There are principles. Is somebody really learning something tonight? I'm going to have to throw away the table of religion here. If the loudest amen makes billionaires, do we ever can shout? If the loudest amen is what makes billionaires, Elon Musk will be in church. I'm touching you now where it hurts. Amen is powerful, but it does not make billionaires. It doesn't honestly put money in your pocket. If you want money, there are 4 things you must do. Number 1, sell something. No, write it down. Number 2, provide a service. You are either selling something if you want money, or number 2, you are providing a service, or number 3, get a job. You can't do any of these three things, then create something. Something that is of value. Listen. Does God honor tithe? Yes, but tithe does not make millionaires. As a matter of fact, your negligence of this principle will make your tithe shrink every time. And very soon, that pastor too will be offended. Because they will think you have. Okay? The principle of tithing, listen, every principle that has to do with giving is not transactional. It is a love affair. We give because we love God. Not because God is a money doubler. The principles of kingdom generosity is a way to help our line, our hearts align in the right perspective and the right priority. Not like I sat down in church, God said, give your 2,000 that is left. So I gave that 2,000. I'm expecting tomorrow it should be 20,000. Nah, lie. If somebody gives you, it's by chance. I can sit down with you and calculate the probability. Are you learning something? Should we tell you? Or you like lies? If you are looking for lies, I'm not the person that will tell you lies. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is giving powerful and important? Yes. But you must understand that you are not trying to transact with God. Does he honor giving? Does he reward giving? Yes, he does. But he will reward it through the works of your hands. Something that you are doing that he bless. If you want the blessing, do something for God to what? Bless. The moment we begin to fix service as a church on Monday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., we have already disqualified ourselves and our people from certain walks in life. Apologies, but I must tell you, how do you put service time at the season people should be working and you are still praying they should be blessed? This is the time people should be working 8 a.m. on Monday to 9, 8 to 10, 10 a.m. for victorious fighter and all. And you wonder the reason why poverty is everywhere. Why won't it be everywhere? Because, listen, we are trying to open the right door with the wrong key. You must understand the principles that opens the door. We are not fighting as one that is beating the air. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are principles. The principles that makes room for advancement when it comes to finance is exchange of value for value. Listen to what I'm saying. It is not exchange of value for pity. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you as it is. One time I sat down in church. Then we're still fresh. In Ibadan. And the Holy Spirit called my attention to the testimony time. And I began to hear the testimony. And because I needed to hear it. And this person will come and share testimony. Praise Master Jesus. I want to thank God for the covenant of life that is in this house. I was on bike and another car came to hit our bike. The bike fell, but I did not die. Praise God. Amen. So I come again. I want to thank God for the covenant that is in this house. The other time, I entered into a mikra and some people came. They are kidnappers. And it was not, you know, mikra is along. What you call along here. I was not kidnapped. Okay. Praise God. I want to thank God. Armed robbers came to our neighborhood. They were shooting. Before they got to my door, they stopped. I sat down. This intervention was not necessary from bike if you are in your car. This one that is mikra. What triggered this demon of kidnapping was because there was no car. So you had to enter mikra. Then this neighborhood where thief came to is not gated. So the testimonies will look like they are massaging the pastor's ego as a man who is interceding. But it also testifies to the fact that they are failing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I saw it. Then I began to ask, what are we doing wrong? Then I went back to my messages and I saw what we're doing wrong. And we began to teach the people again. Began to teach them the audacity of faith. Apostles in marketplace, understanding the corridors of power, began to raise a new generation. Let me give you another instance. You know, you can hear testimonies like, as the program was starting, that's how the devil came and the gen went off. And so we had to go and pray, and we prayed over the gen and the gen came back. That devil was triggered because you only have one gen. There is a way luck dig out some demons that are less busy. That if there was enough, these demons will be busy doing what they are doing. We just spiritualize everything. And the man of God can go there and stretch out and say, oh, generator, come back now. You don't need that venting if you could afford another generator. So it means that there are demons that are waiting to look for where there's lack. Meanwhile, it is actually not demon. You just don't have. That is the truth. Fasting and prayer is powerful. But there is a principle for wealth. To neglect it and fast and pray is to want to make God violate his principle. Tell your neighbor, do you want to prosper? Come on, say it again. Exchange value for value. There are people who try to exchange value for pity. You know, like I said, I hear testimonies also. Tell you, I want to praise God. The last time my house rent was going to expire, then they said I should park. Then I called one of my uncle, and then he was able to sell me 25,000. One of my friends also sent me this. You know, I believe in the covenant in this house. We don't get stranded. The other one was almost threatened. They gave me 2,000. When will you leave the level where they are giving you 2,000, 4,000, 5,000? Those testimonies are testifying of two things. Number one, God is faithful. Number two, we are failing. Do you agree? I've not started. I'm going to touch. Okay. So, I started thinking. There is a way you will have understanding that house rent can never be a prayer point. How do we raise people and put them in that line to get it right? There is something you will understand, that children's school fees will never be a prayer point. These are principles in God's word. To use prayer to replace it is to use the wrong key to open the right door. Do you understand? Is it simple enough what I'm saying? Because I know I'm going to scratch religion where it ought. Okay? We have to understand this. So we are not like fools who fight as one beating the air. We understand principles. Every time, oh, uncle, please. See, listen to what I'm saying. If you get value from people and you exchange with pity, that is, you give them a compelling story and all that. It is either, let me see what I'm saying. It is either you are begging. The number one set of people who exchange value for pity are beggars. Can I be honest? When you meet a beggar on the way, why do you give the beggar money? Because you pity the beggar. But the Bible also, there's a balance. He that gives to the poor lends to God. Is that okay now? But what is this beggar giving in exchange? Nothing. It is compassion. And people don't give you at the level of your need. They give you at the level of the value you represent. So when you see a beggar, if you have... Let me give you an illustration. Never forget this illustration. Please come again. Nakali, please come. Let's assume this is, let's say, this is Bishop David Oyedepo. Okay? Pastor Toby, you come. Then let's assume this is one guy. Remove the hand of your suit, like one. Wear just one hand. Thank you. Yes. Coming in, walk like one who is homeless and begging. And this guy is begging and homeless and say, I need, please just give me something. I need something. You will give him whatever you give him at the level of the problem. Maybe you are benevolent, you give 5,000 and say, you go and sort yourself. And this same person, if someone like Bishop Oyedepo comes in now and say, I just want to get something done. Can I get $1 million right there? Say, why not? Why not? It's a privilege, sir. Take this $1 million. Who needs the $1 million between the both of them? The beggar. But what you are saying is, I recognize that the level of transformation you have entered cannot permit this kind of problem. Grow to a level where your growth can no longer tolerate certain needs. Any area of lack reveals the area your transformation has not covered. There is something you will know, that certain things can never be a challenge again. The reason why these teachings are difficult in our churches is because people see the preacher who preaches as proud. That don't mind him. He's saying this because he has his needs sorted. I know what it means to be broke. And I know what he doesn't answer to. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is the fact. You'll be amazed. People will go to small churches and drop peanuts. And go to mega places. The same people drop something big. They are saying, we recognize that with the level of work done here, this should not be a need. Let's get it sorted. Please be seated. Are you learning something?
No.
Let me tell you. If we fail to learn this, you will shout from now to next year. Financially, you will still fail. We need a body of wisdom to come out from financial hardship. A body of it. Anybody who despises relationship cannot rise to a certain level. There is a point you get to. It matters who you know. It matters who loves you. Get out of my life. I don't care. You will saw. There is a way life will teach you. You know you don't dispel emotions anyhow. People will do things and say, see, they can be useful tomorrow. Just enjoy yourself. I won't allow you to cheat me twice. You make me angry now. Tomorrow you are still not useful for me. What's the use? No problem. I won't be angry. You are useful tomorrow. That's wisdom. We must develop emotional intelligence. Even anger, you must know how to. You must understand the economic importance of it. You don't just dish it out. Venting, you will see anger in the bosom of fools. Are you learning something? Can I repeat what I said? There is a level of transformation you have that certain needs are no longer compatible with your life. With what you know, rent can never be a prayer point again. Let me tell you now, even in ministry, I say this to pastors. See, listen to what I'm saying. Nobody gives you because you are a pastor. People honor you based on the transformation their life has experienced through you. It is value for value. Come and cry from today to tomorrow and say, you won't believe as a pastor of this church, my rent is expired, nobody is helping me. They will leave the church. They will say, this is not the kind of church I want to. Because there is a way, when you combine lack plus authority, you become toxic. Quote me anywhere. Can I say that again? There is a way you combine lack with authority, you become toxic. You will not know that you have become dangerous to the people you are raising. Every time you talk about money, you are getting people offended. Talking about money, you are. And that's why I want to say many things. I'm careful. I beg ministers to sincerely pray that the God who have called you will put resources in your hands and show you the way of finance, so that you will never have to depend on money from the ministry. People will even trust you more that way. Let me just leave that there. Is that okay now? Are you learning something? I said, are you learning something? Somebody is walking in a place of work and you are saying, okay, I'm doing this one, this. This is what I'm saying. There is a way you will understand the principle of work and diligence that your employers will feel they're underpaying you. Until you walk to that dimension, you are not a good worker. You must give me sleepless night as your employer, thinking of better ways to honor you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you what not to do. Somebody gets to a work and tie a calf to your ears and say, I hear only Jesus, Master Jesus. Jesus with you to the end. No problem. At the time that they are having board meeting, you will sit down and say, no, I must do my morning devotion. No problem. Number one, they will sack you and God is not to be blamed. And let's assume they have not even sacked you. Listen to what I want to tell you. You must make sure that this morning devotion you are doing here, the proof that you are correct is that you emerge 10 times better than the rest. There is no point for a Daniel who didn't eat the king's portion and is still like them. What's the point? See, don't just know the route of self-denial. Know the route of coming out with excellence as a result of it. You say, hey, I don't do this, I don't do that. See, the proof that you are wise is not just that you don't do it, but you understand how to maximize the dividends of that consecration. Am I saying break your consecration? No. But I'm saying as you go through that consecration, do you understand what I'm saying here? Oh, people come to church and say, look at you, fools, you are giving tithe. Giving pastors who are not broke, giving your tithe. See, listen, you try to say, I am the one that know this. The proof. Let me tell you a story. One of our pastors shared this story. Somebody was on the bus. They were arguing on the bus. All these pastors, this. They are eating church money. Oh, give your tithe to pastors. And they began to mention a particular pastor. And we're calling him names. Listen to what I want to tell you. A man stood there inside the bus and said, no. I'm a member of this church. You can't call my pastor. You know what they told him? They said, you are not a member of that church. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm a bona fide. Mention the church. Anything you think in your mind is you and God. Okay? Mention the church. You know what they told him? They say, we know the members of that church. They don't enter this kind of bus. What will he say? Next bus stop. Let me go back and rehear the principles of that house. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means I have been there, but I have not carried this. Even unbelievers know that we may call them, but we can't deny that they are blessed. Until we come to that point. Do you understand what I'm saying? What about the principles that governs nation building? And this is where I want to say a few things. Listen. Look up everybody. Let's talk frankly. Now, I speak from, if you ask me to show you the empirical laws that governs what I want to say now, I will show you my research work and I will list nations to you for you to see. Go and fact check what I want to tell you. There is no nation that moved from either third world to second world to first world through fasting and prayer. There is no nation. Nations change levels when they become tired of their oppressors and they break their chains. That is the principle for nation building. It is not yearly prophecy that will rescue Nigeria. It is not election prophecy. How many of you heard the prophecy that Buhari will die? When prophecy is a lie, it shuts down the brain. The things you should do with your brain and think you drop your brain and say, I want to hold this prophecy. Only for you to see that you are wrong. Prophecies are powerful. Listen, but men who fulfill prophecies will hold the prophecy in one hand and walk with the other hand. Are you following what I'm saying? I wrote something down. Let me read it out for you. There are principles that makes room for nation building. There are principles. Oh, Nigeria is failing on all fronts. I'm saying there are what? Principles. As far as that sphere is concerned, there are principles. Number one, it involves, if you want to build a nation, participate. Be a part of the process, one way or the other. Now, begin to check what we have done wrong and to let to know why we are where we are. Is that okay now? Participate, all right, in the development of that nation on in all fronts now. Number two, I said there are principles that make for nation building, and the principle involves participation at, all right, in all fronts. Number two, discovering and projecting and supporting, listen, discovering, projecting, and supporting those who have the mind, the intelligence, and the character to move the nation forward. When you participate, we must now look amongst us. Who is the person with the competence? Now, competence is not enough. Who is the person with the character? Because you need character for leadership. And one of the very essential characters is the fear of God. So it means when we begin to look at character, we now check for integrity. Listen to what I'm saying. If we push people with character aside and bless thieves that they should succeed in the name of Jesus, they will actually succeed. They will succeed in doing what they have been created to do. They will steal. Sometimes I look at Nigeria, I feel we are not ready. You cannot collect a nation on election day. Election day was compromised because you were compromised. Don't you have uncles in INEC? Didn't they give you money and you collected? Is that money their salary? Where is it coming from? When corruption favors us, we call it favor and grace. Or when it does not favor, we call it oppression. Who are those who they can buy their vote with 1,000 naira? They are the widows and the poor who you have neglected. If we go back to those grassroots, nobody will be viable to educate and to help. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think I'm in the wrong place. I'm telling you fact. You look at somebody's track record. You see, listen now. I don't understand how we understand this about marriage. That if somebody, please get my word in context, is a goat. You put suit on the goat on wedding day and say, goat, you are marrying. Say, you are married to the man. Man. This is your wife, man. The wife now say, in the name of Jesus, change him, change him. Holy Ghost, fire. Man. You took a goat to a polling booth and say, now that you have won, change now. Receive grace. Man. Love this nation. You change it. Man. 4 years. Man. Another 4 years. Come and do the same thing. Man. Then you now know. You now have a queue of goats. Bleating. Man. Man. I'm the next. What will you do? Change now. Fire. Man. It is the tale of when goats can reason more than people who are in their right minds. You want to change the nation? We pray. Okay? Very, very important. Because sometimes we must understand these things are also spiritual. But there are physical principles that must not be what? Neglected. See, Nigeria is failing. We must understand the principle. Can I ask a question? How do you know that somebody stole his way to power? And you still came out as a man of God and say God gave him the power. Can we also agree as a pastor, sir, that if somebody collected your wife now, God gave him? No, it must be two plus. It must be balanced. We must balance this equation. Somebody stole the commonwealth of a nation. You said God put him there. How will God bring a person to the right place with the wrong method? That God is a scam. Nonsense. And then you now, no, pastor that is saying that, please allow your member collect your wife. And let it be God giving the member. That is the balance. No, it must be balanced. You cannot snatch the entire nation through fraudulent means and say God gave him. We must check our doctrine and theology. If we don't, we will lose a generation. Oh, if we don't, I am crying and I'm begging now. Let's check this nonsense. Are we supposed to pray for kings, for men in authority? Oh, yes. It is our duty as church. But tell a thief you are a thief. Repent and change from your evil ways now. We must never build a church that is Bible. No. We must not tell people to hell with that tithe. Listen. The generation of our fathers is a generation of people who somehow, because of their exposure, have very high regard for anything the clergy says. There is a new generation who are thinking and they are well read. You can call them rude. They are a combatant generation. And listen, they are going to win. Because that generation will do what everyone else have not done. It is either we understand that generation now or lose them. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Doing answers. There was a story of this woman called Aishat Yesufut, who lifted her hands in an hijab. And somebody said, this is the new Statue of Liberty in the new Nigeria. Some Christians were saying, no, with the hijab. Listen, I said, shut up. If the one with the hijab is the one who is bold to go there, put her there. Now, you get what you pay the price for. Can there be Christian nation builders? Yes. This lie and this heretic teaching that once you are a Christian, you must swear the oath of silence. It will kill you and kill the nation. We have a role to play. We can't swear the oath of silence and cry why the nation is bad. Participate, sir. Be a part of it.
Yes, sir.
Don't wait till another 4 years, then start praying. Go to a queuing. I'm telling you. Don't take what I'm telling for it. And before you know it, there will no longer be hope. Now that the generation is crying, the church must give them a language. See, let me tell you something. People say when you preach this, they will criticize you and all that. You don't know me. See, I'm a very calm person. But the conviction that runs deep in me, you can't take it from me. We have a role to play.
Yes, sir.
We will not just build the church, we will build this nation. Moses has fought with the rod. Joshua will fight with sword. Moses will be on the mountain raising the rod. Joshua must be in the valley fighting. Let the fathers be praying. Let the youth be loud. He who controls the narrative controls the nation. I say these things I'm saying as things that has cost me tears. I marvel and I shiver when I see a man of God say, now that this person has power, it is God who gave him. Which God? It was stolen. Period. And there's nothing you can do about it because you did not position yourself to do anything about it. We must not raise a powerless generation. Who will say, we the masses. Get out of the masses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor you have a role to play. Let me... Can I leave that there? Are you being blessed? I have to round up now. My time is gone. I would have also shown you examples of areas people experience failure, which is marriage. Can I quickly tie this up quickly? All right, there are principles that guarantee success in marriage, but understand that it doesn't matter how powerfully you know those principles. Right principles can only work when you are with the right partner. For instance, patience is a very powerful principle. Is that okay now? But if you patiently stay under somebody who will kill you, the person will kill you. I've lost you now. Right principles around the right partner. Wisdom. Okay? For instance now, say as a woman, you're a very submissive woman, no problem. Say you get your salary and say, my husband, this is my salary. I want to show you my salary. Just make sure he's a good man. If he's not a good man, he will take 90% and give you the tithe. I say, when you need money, call me. So I'm telling you that the most principal principle here, get the right person right. Once you get that decision wrongly, we can only support you with bandage at your dying and we'll counsel you, but we know that's as far as we can go. Some prayer points in marriage are only necessary because you have missed the right person. If you get the right person, some prayers are not needed. Is that okay now? Very important. So you want to understand the principles. Number one, fear God. When you fear God, there are certain boundaries you won't cross. Fear God. It doesn't matter how tempted you are. Number two, be kind to your partner. Kindness. My wife put something out recently and it touched my heart. And she said that before you agree to be a sit-home mom or something like that, be sure the spouse you have is kind. Let me tell you this. Ask for best color as much as you want. If you marry a spouse who is not kind, you will suffer. Ask yourself, when you stand face to face with that person saying, I love you, you are the only skeletal structure in my body, you are the sugar in my tea, look at that person and answer this question honestly. If I'm bedridden today, what role will this person play? No, you must answer that question honestly. The days where you will not be as beautiful as you are now, as strong as you are, can this person carry you? Can he shield you? Can she cover you? Can she hold hands and pray with you? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Check for kindness. Number three now. Love and respect each other. You want to have a very good home. Love each other, respect each other. I want to marry this person. I don't love him, but it's the will of God. No, it's not the will of God. Marriage is not God sentencing you to prison. Let me tell you something. If anybody has contrary statement to what I've said, ask the person you married, do you love the person? If he says yes, then the person is wicked. He said, no, just marry like that. Love will grow later. Ha! 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 Nalayo. The first pattern of marriage, go and read New Living Translation. When Adam saw Eve, the first thing he said was, wow. You saw her, is ye. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me tell you something, though. Everybody that God made, he made fearfully and wonderfully. But some people have managed themselves in a way that they picked the fearful. And forgot the... I don't tell you. Because it will be you to carry your cross by yourself. Okay? Be open with your spouse. 100% open. The man and the woman were naked and not ashamed. That's marriage. This demonic doctrine that you don't tell your wife everything because she uses it against you. Marry the one that is good in character. You have that problem because of who you marry. Don't generalize it. Not all women are like that. True? Where are the women here? True?
Uh-huh.
The last one. This one. They may not tell you, but I should tell you as a pastor. You want to have a very happy home. Please get finance right. We are not saying finance is the key to happy home, but we are saying if it is missing, you will be happy but not too happy.
Your joy will not be full if you can't afford to do the things you should do. Okay? You don't believe me? Don't take it. Marry the way you want to marry. Then I'll see you on the other side. Then we see where we go from there. Okay, so because people just get emotional and say, why will he say finance? He's trying to raise people who are what they are. No. Say, money is vanity. Poverty is vanity too. You have to choose your own. Poverty is vanity. It's true. We say money, vanity, poverty is true. We are not saying it's poverty is vanity. You have to choose your vanity. Is that okay now? So people fail predominantly because of these three things. Number one, they get principles wrong. Is that okay now? Yes. They violate principles. Number two, lack of understanding. Number three, disobedience. Disobedience. Good understanding brings favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard. So it means favor itself also a formula. Yes. You must have earned a space in the heart of people for them to think of you for favor. True? Yes. So failure can be as a result of lack of understanding, can also be as a result of disobedience. That is, doing things that God has said not to do. You will fail at it. Number three. Failure can also be as a result of an attack spiritually. Failure can also be as a result of an attack spiritually. All right? Have you been blessed tonight? Are you sure you have been blessed? Are you sure you have been blessed? You have learned a body of wisdom that if you apply this, not only will you survive any situation of failure, you will thrive in the midst of it. The nation will thrive. You will thrive in the midst of what looks like the similitude of, what is it called now? Financial hardship. Whatever sphere God has planted you. Listen to what I'm saying. Wisdom guarantees consistent result. Let me show you a scripture as I round up. Is that okay? Let me show you a scripture. Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs 24. Let's start reading from verse 3. Proverbs 24 from verse 3. Now look at it. Says, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. True wisdom is an house builded. By understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious. What did verse 5 says? A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge is strength. These are the principles. The church must not despise the place of wisdom and the place of understanding and the place of knowledge. Is that okay now? Is this simple enough? We must not. It doesn't matter how spiritual we want to sound. I know we have work to do, but please follow me. Is that okay now? If you have been blessed, let me give you a minute to please bow your head and ask right now for the wisdom to triumph even in tough times. Please pray that prayer in a minute. Please pray. Please pray. Thank you, Father. Reke shente rogo shente rogo shente ronta kabaita fende kerushatish. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.